So I'm here today with Ron Myers from the Consulting Room, and we're going to be talking a little bit about some of the current issues in the market today. So the first thing I'd like to talk to you about, Ron, is this email we got really from IHS just recently about nurse prescribing. Can you just update me on the on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this has been something that's been obviously an area of contention for quite a long while now, but it's been raised and I think championed and put forward more by the IHAS in terms of trying to get some sort of more definitive statement from the NMC.
Could you just remind me, Ron, about the IHS?
Yeah, I mean, the IHS, the Independent Healthcare Advisory Services, that are have been responsible for pulling together the Treatments You Can Trust scheme that was launched last year. This is really looking at standards that clinics should be adhering to from a point of view delivering really the cosmetic injectable treatments, so Botox and fillers. And that, again, is an area where I think some businesses feel that they don't want to join because they feel this is, you know, potentially a commercial vehicle. But other people feel that it's very relevant and is a way of trying to drive up standards. So companies like Skin, I think Transform, Harley Medical, and a number of other leading companies have actually signed up for this scheme, and you'll see them on the treatmentsyoucantrust.co.uk website.
And their recent announcement about nurse prescribing, what did they say in that, Ron?
Well, basically, I mean, it's really saying that remote prescriptions or directions to administer should only be used in exceptional circumstances. And that, and really they've clarified that and said that situations where treatment is necessary to save life. So clearly, if we're using Botox for cosmetic purposes, it wouldn't really apply. And I think that's really looking at that whole clarification of that statement and to say that really remote prescribing, whether it's through a prescriber's undertaking assessment of the person using information technology, media such as via the telephone or video link, still shouldn't be used.
And who is it that actually recommends this? Is it the NMC as well?
Yeah, so you get NMC in conjunction with the RCN. And I mean, the NMC also state that all nurses and midwives are personally responsible to ensure that they apply the relevant standards and laws to their specific area of practice and risk their registration and livelihood if they do not. So again, that's a fairly bold statement as well that says that, you know, maybe the NMC, if somebody is reported who it's proven that they are administering Botox using some form of remote prescription or direction to administer service, could potentially risk their registration.
So we all know this is, I mean, some of the big business models and some of the highest users of botulinum toxin in the UK use this model. I mean, how do they stand?
Well, that's correct, and I think there is. I think the issue comes down to what is legal and then what are, if you like, standards that different bodies have recommended. I think, and I'm not a lawyer, so don't quote me on this, but I think that the whole issue of looking at remote prescribing and legality of it is clear that it is legal to for a doctor to administer a prescription in certain circumstances through this route. But I think the issue really then is looking at the applicability of that to the cosmetic marketplace. And I think that's really where the differential is. At the moment, I don't think the GMC have, or the GDC, of course, as well, because it also affects dentists, have really looked at this and come out with anything that I've seen that's from a statement from their perspective relating through to doctors or dentists providing prescriptions on this basis for the nurses who are using, you know, cosmetic injectables such as Botox.
Yeah. So if you were, you know, someone who was using this business model, if you're a nurse who's using one of the very well known remote prescribing services,
yes.
How do they stand, do you think, Ron? I know it's a difficult question for you to answer.
Well, we've actually gone to one or two of the companies that we know who are providing those services with this statement to just ask for clarification from their perspective and really, you know, get the other side of the argument. I mean, clearly from our point of view, really what we're trying to do is to air the debate as it's going forward. And, you know, different people have different opinions about this as to whether or not they think it's ethical or right or wrong or even legal. And from our point of view, what we're trying to do is just to put forward the argument as it comes out. And this is just a new statement that I think has clarified it a little bit more from a point of view of the NMC's perspective, at least.
Okay.
If I was a nurse and I was using the service, I would again be seeking clarification from the provider that I got that what I was doing wasn't going to, you know, place my registration under some form of danger, really.
Yeah, but to date, we're not aware of anyone who's actually had a problem. There's never been a case against someone, to our knowledge, has there, Ron?
Not to my knowledge, no. So I think at the moment, yeah, we can say that. I don't think any nurse has lost their registration as a result of doing this, but whether or not this tightening of the statement means that what they're doing is giving a warning signal to these nurses to say, look, you know, stop doing it,
yeah,
or else.
Yeah.
And whether or not we will then start to see people being reported, which, you know, potentially could happen, because obviously there are other people who are operating in this business who, you know, feel that this isn't right and could potentially report nurses.
Yeah.
And so I think this year, probably more than any, may see some sort of real conclusion regarding this as to whether or not this is, you know, as to how this is going to go forward.
Yeah. Now, are you okay if you're a nurse prescriber?
If you're a nurse independent prescriber, there's no problems with that, as far as I understand. This is really related to nurses who don't have that qualification.
Okay. Brilliant. Well, thanks for clarifying that, Ron. The next thing I'd just like to ask you about is this new European diktat about who can administer botulinum toxins. Could you just clarify a little bit on that?
Yeah, I mean, this was started around about a year ago, and the whole idea really was to look at trying to get some form of harmonisation about cosmetic surgery procedures in Europe. And I think this has originally kicked off really looking at the whole tourism, cosmetic surgery tourism side type of approach, where people go to Poland or other countries, are often really marketed as being cheaper versions of attaining, say, a breast implant or liposuction or whatever, but not necessarily obviously having the same standards, both in terms of, I think, A, the environment use for the operation, and B, the actual qualifications as well of the individual in that particular country who may be licensed to do the procedure. So the idea was to try and get some sort of harmonisation about who could and couldn't do what, and also in what environment as well. And I think what this has done has basically now opened up this whole debate, not just for cosmetic surgery, but also for other things that kind of come under that category of cosmetic improvement or renovation, which include all the injectable treatments, peels, lasers, and possibly even radio frequency and other devices that are used in clinics as well. And within the UK, each of the sort of member countries, and I think there's around 21 are involved in this, each of the individual countries are responsible for trying to look at opening this debate up amongst players who are involved in the marketplace to look at trying to come up with their own, if you like, idea of how these standards should lie. And in this country, it's the British Standards Institute that's involved in that. And so they've been looking at the marketplace and looking at, you know, who's involved and who they think should be involved, as have other countries as well. But unfortunately, when it's come down to look at injectables and other non-surgical treatments, some of the other member countries have said that basically this should really be in the hands of plastic surgeons, cosmetic surgeons and dermatologists, and not in the hands of general practitioners or nurses or dentists. So that obviously causes a lot of concern for the people involved in the UK, who predominantly, really, I think GPs and nurses and potentially some dentists who are involved in the volume part of the injectable marketplace. As these are standards, though, it's not going to be regulation if this comes out, which it should come to a head in the next 2 years. But clearly, if standards are approved that potentially preclude some medical specialties from using these products, there is a danger that could eventually be rubber stamped to become legislation and law.
Yeah, very interesting. So nothing too much to worry about at the moment?
Not at the moment, no, but I think certainly the members of the BACD, British Association of Cosmetic Doctors, are obviously concerned about this and are certainly lobbying and trying to pull together their case and their arguments for the fact that they should be involved not only in cosmetic injectable treatments, but also other things that some of these members are involved in, such as laser or smart lipo, which are forms of liposuction.
Yeah, yeah.
Which again, I think, according to the other member countries as well who are involved in this, say should be in the hands of a plastic surgeon.
I suppose because we're part of Europe, we may be involved in this. The decisions made by Europe. Okay, well,
that's right.
Thanks for clarifying that. The next thing I'd like to talk to you about, I know there's been an awful lot in the in the press about beauty therapists doing some of these treatments. Could you just tell us what the issues are and where you think you stand on this?
Yeah, I mean, we wrote a blog about it. Well, we've written several actually on our website as well, looking at the whole concerning a trend towards beauty therapists and potentially other non-medically qualified people gaining access to botulinum toxin and dermal fillers and actually starting to use them in their own salons. And this has been spurred on by certain companies who provided a route to training and also other companies who provided a route from an insurance perspective. And clearly, I think from what I understand anyway, none of this is actually endorsed in any way, shape or form by what I would call the leading major suppliers of these products in the UK. So they're not actually recommending that this happens or endorsing or supporting it. But because it's a commercial marketplace and because there is this whole grey area of looking at the issue of remote prescribing, and access to these types of products, it does appear that people are looking at this and saying, well, if I can make money out of training courses and other companies make money out of insurance related to underpinning this, and it's not illegal, well, why not do it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I take another stance to looking at it from the other perspective to say, well, I think that, these types of people shouldn't really be involved in it because there are, as you and I know, a lot of dangers involved in using these products as well.
Yeah. I mean, are you talking botulinum toxins or dermal fillers here, or both?
Both.
Yeah.
Both, absolutely. So you're looking at prescription medicines and, of course, medical devices with the fillers. And for me, actually, personally, I think the fillers are more potentially have more problems than botulinum toxin.
Yeah, and of course, they're not prescription-only medicines. So it's very sort of. Are you aware of any beauty therapists in the country that are doing these treatments? I have heard a patient of mine said she went into a clinic and was injected by a beauty therapist, and she felt pretty confident it was a beauty therapist that did her Botox treatment. Are you aware of anyone doing that?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are none, but not only beauty therapists. I mean, in fact, we're also involved in the new clinic in Birmingham, and there's a physiotherapist who actually is working out of a general practice.
Yeah.
Who's providing and in fact visibly advertising Botox treatments for frown lines and wrinkles, along with fillers as well. So you'll find other people from other areas who are also involved in this. It's not just therapists, but some of the therapists as well are quite specific with this and saying that this comes under their skill set and their training.
Yeah.
And that with their background and training from a point of view of skin and skin health, potentially that they're qualified to do this.
Yeah. Did you say?
It's crazy.
I agree. Did you say you were opening up another clinic in Birmingham? Did I hear you say that, Ron? Or?
No, we've got a clinic in Birmingham, but there's literally a health centre just up the road with a physiotherapist who's got a sign outside, which of course they shouldn't have as well.
Yeah.
A nice A board saying pretty much come and get your Botox here, and she's a physiotherapist. So it's not just therapists, and I think the problem with this as well, and what we found as well with some of the training providers out there, was that they were advertising just for people who got some form of anatomy and physiology qualification to kind of like an A-level standard.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't even really looking at, B-Tech background in beauty therapy, or whatever, it was just, anyone.
Yeah.
So I've got a degree in biology, so I was kind of thinking of going along and, having a go. But and clearly, this wouldn't happen in any other country.
Why does it happen here?
Just because of this, I think this whole loophole here, really, with regards to looking at, I think, it's a remote prescribing type of thing. There are obviously medical people here that are providing the route of supply for Botox, and that appears to be legal. And, you know, whether you think it's right or wrong, I think the law is on their side. And although the GMC are aware of this, I don't believe that they have the ability to be able to, well, I'm sure they could if they wanted to, but I don't think they have the appetite to be able to really look at this issue and say, well, you know, there's enough of a problem here that's just related to this particular prescription drug that we need to really do anything about it to you know, sort of either come out with a statement to say that this shouldn't happen for this particular drug in these circumstances, which is what the NMC have done, really.
Yeah.
They don't appear to want to do this at this point in time.
Yeah.
And I think if you can't cut off that supply route, I think it's very hard to stop it.
Yeah, and we've talked about, you know, this sort of Chinese Botox or Chotox that you can buy online as well.
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, that's a whole other aspect of it, isn't it? So, in other words, you're not even going through that, that route of using a doctor to gain access to a prescription medicine. You're just buying it over the internet, and we've done that ourselves as well. And it's very easy to do. You pay $100 or whatever, and it arrives in a brown paper parcel where they put gift on there, so it doesn't go through customs. Yeah. You know, and that's it. The whole kit's there.
Yeah. Very interesting. We talked about that, of course, in a previous podcast. So if you haven't heard that, listen back. Ron, that's brilliant for today. In the next podcast, Ron, I thought I'd ask you about a few things, such as, what's happening with VAT, how the market is overall, any of the social networking, professional social networking services like LinkedIn, whether you can use them, and also an update on eClinic and the practice software you use. So, again, thanks very much for joining me today, Ron. I look forward to talking to you again.
That's fine. Thank you, Adrian.